Okay, welcome. We're going through a series on spiritual warfare, and this is the second lesson. Last week we talked about spiritual reality, and we acknowledged the fact that a lot of people, actually far more people, have some sense of the immaterial, the supernatural, the paranormal, that there's something out there, have a greater sense of that than like atheists or materialists or scientismists, if you will. We saw last week only about 7%, but over 80% of the population believes in some kind of supernatural reality. And when we are witnessing to someone, it's helpful to know where they are. Are they an atheist? Are they agnostic? Or do they have some idea? They might just think their ghosts are real or something like that. And it's important to know kind of where they are. Because then we can map where they are to the Word and hopefully make some progress. So today is our second in the series. We skip next week because it's a mission Sunday. I want you to be here for that, but this is the second lesson, and then in 2 weeks we'll do the third lesson. So last time we talked about spiritual reality, supernatural reality. Today we're going to introduce more or less the idea of the reality of spiritual warfare, which is not anything that you and I would be unfamiliar with. We're all familiar with it to some extent. And so we did spiritual reality, we do spiritual warfare today, and then we'll probably do one more on spiritual warfare, and then we'll begin the world of flesh and the devil. And the largest grouping will be the devil, at the end. So that's just kind of the process we're going through. Just to get us kind of started, and by the way, if you're new here, please participate. You don't have to wait until you've been here like five times. We want to hear from everybody. But what causes sin? What leads to sin? Help me out here. What causes sin? What leads to sin?
Desire.
Okay. Desire.
And the enemy.
Nature.
Ignorance.
Enemy.
Brain damage.
Well, sin is brain damage. I missed. There was one I missed. What was the last one? Ignorance. Okay.
Rebellion from God against God.
The heart.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Dennis?
Rebellion against.
Rebellion. Rebellious heart.
Discontentment.
Thank you. Discontentment.
Our fallen state.
Okay. Any others I should put up that you may have shouted and I missed? Pardon me? Just straight up being human, which is a way of saying weak, right? We can say we're human, we're weak. Human. Okay, one more? No? Good? Huh?
Pride.
Pride. Thank you, Bert. Pride. Okay. All right. We're going to just leave that there. We'll come back to it. So, sometimes I might want to say to myself, I'm my own worst enemy. Okay, so my question is, what does that mean, and how is that even biblical, or how would that be biblical? Yeah.
Well, you got Paul. What did Paul say? You know, the battles he had with the flesh.
I do what I hate.
Yes.
I do what I hate. Do what I hate, and I don't want to do, but I do anyway. Yeah. Yes, Gabe.
The Bible refers to the devil as the enemy.
Right.
So I would argue Satan is kind of the core root of sin, and he tempts us to sin.
Gabe is stealing my lesson today. So, but we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. We'll talk about that again in a little bit. But we do say that to ourselves sometimes. I'm my own worst enemy. We say that about other people. We see them doing a lot of foolish things, foolish in the biblical sense of foolish. And we say, they're their own worst enemy. Okay. All right. So in your handout, and if you don't have a handout, there's a few left on the back, or you can go to Gospel Apologetics on the, it's about, if you want a handout, look at the bottom of the handout. It's Gospel Apologetics, all one word, gospelapologetics.com. And you can click on the handout, and you actually can make it big and fill up the screen, and you can print it if you want to, or you just refer back. All the slides are there also at gospelapologetics.com. Okay. All right. So in your handout, you'll see at item 4, the reality of spiritual warfare. And then A is the Old Testament, B is the New Testament. That's for reference. I will be touching on many of these in this series, but that's for reference sake. I actually got that from a book I'm working from, one of the books I'm working from, which is called Spiritual Warfare in the Storyline of Scripture. But when we want to try to define spiritual warfare, there's no such word in the Bible or phrase called spiritual warfare. So what we want to do is we want to look at these things that we can look at and say, yes, those are spiritual warfare. It's a category that we can see when we go through the Bible. Billy Graham put it this way. He said, where the Lord works, Satan's forces hinder, where angels, beings carried out their divine directive, the devil's rage. All this comes about because of the powers of darkness press their counterattack. So that's battle talk. And that's what we want to be thinking about when we hear about spiritual warfare. John MacArthur called it the cosmic conflict that involves God and the highest creature he ever made, and it filters down to every human being. Satan and his army of demons are fighting Christ, his holy angels, the nation of Israel, and believers. The battle lines are clearly drawn. That's what we want to make sure we get from this series. Because as we saw last week, there's sometimes a tendency to just kind of like, well, you know, the devil stuff and the Satan stuff. It makes me uncomfortable, and it's just weird. And I kind of want to avoid it to some extent. And we want to cure ourselves of that impulse in this course, because spiritual warfare requires warfare. It requires forward movement and not just backing off. So, okay. So those two categories, spiritual warfare in the Old Testament, spiritual warfare in the New Testament, it's for your reference, and I will be circling back to many of these as we go through this series. Any questions at this point on what we're doing in the series? All right, today we want to talk about active duty and being on the sideline, picking up a little bit from last week. And so, do we have a choice of sitting out spiritual warfare?
No.
We don't. I think we would agree. Why not? Why don't we have a choice? Why can't we just say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna just kind of step aside from all this Satan talk and lack of self-control talk and all this kind of stuff. I'm just going to kind of sidestep it. I'm going to go on the sidelines a little bit while the battle is raging. That's the graphic that I tried to reflect here, is a soldier sitting on the sideline while the battle is raging around us. So, yes, Laura?
Because we are chosen children of God.
Okay. Okay.
To be Christ-like.
God's enemy
is our enemy. Chosen to be Christ-like. I'm sorry, Adrena.
God's enemy is our enemy.
Okay. Whoa. Did you and Gabe get together before this class and say, how can we sabotage this thing? How can we just shortcut it into about 2 minutes? Okay. Tell me again what you said.
God's enemy is our enemy.
Oh, yeah. God's enemy. That's really the theme of today, is that the real enemy is Satan, and God's enemy is our enemy. Yes?
You're in it whether you like it or not.
Explain that. What does that mean, Dan?
If you are, Satan is the prince of this world. So if you're a child of God, Satan is your enemy. You have our flesh nature. We were fallen as individuals. So you, as far as the evil that is happening in this world, it is going to affect your life one way or another. It's inevitable.
Right.
It's either you're going to stand with the strength of the living God on your side, obedient to his word, and stand against this, or you're going to be inactive and a poor witness.
So in a sense, what you're saying is the battle's raging, and it's not staying over there. It's coming this way. It's on its way. Okay, there was one hand way in the back there somewhere. So, okay, yes. Roger.
Not to participate because the battle is already...
The battle is...
Already won.
Okay. Oh, already won. Okay. Okay, it's already won, but as our brothers and sisters in northern Nigeria will tell us, it's already won, but that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be horrible stuff. Horrible stuff. I'm going to take this and I'll come back to you, Gabe. Yes, go ahead.
We're called to stand on the truth.
Okay. Stand. And when we do, stand on the truth, Ruth. And when we do, we become a target. Okay, Gabe, and then I'll come back. Yes.
To slightly modify a quote, you might not be interested in spiritual warfare, but spiritual warfare is interested.
Okay, all right. Interested in you. Okay. Go ahead.
The battle's already won, but it's only going to be won for maturity.
Okay.
In Christ, a consistent willingness to grow in Christ. And we're united, not in the blood.
So we have sort of what's going on out there, but we also have what's going on in here, and in here in the church.
So does the enemy.
So the enemy can be found in here. In fact, I would ask you to, everyone in this room, to join me in prayer as you go through this week. Just think back to today and pray for protection around this room and in this room, because we are stepping into it by talking about spiritual warfare. We're going right into it. And what is that going to do? That's going to make the enemy unhappy. And so pray for protection. Yes.
Anytime anybody in power or anybody who thinks they have any control know that the Lord is in control. Mm-hmm. They do not like that.
Okay. Lord is in control. And there's just something about humans and demons that there's this desire to be in charge. Who's the boss? I want to be the boss. There's an impulse. And we'll get to that. We'll talk about that in just a minute, too. One more. Yes, Robert. Yeah.
That's exactly why the devil got kicked out of heaven, because he wanted to be worshipped. He
right.
wanted to be in charge.
Right.
And he is in charge of trying to get us away from God. He is the only reason he's fighting us is we have something he wants, whether it's to be the light of the way, and have our light on a lampstand, and he's trying to put our light out.
He's trying to extinguish our light. We are in a war, whether we like it or not. Erwin Lutzer, former dean and chaplain at Moody, we are in a war. We can't plead pacifism. We can't run from the bullets. We can't hide from the bombs. We can't plead medical deferment. We can pretend, but we can't run from what's really going on. And so if you look at this very familiar passage about the armor of God, and I trust most people in here are at least somewhat familiar with the passage of the armor of God. Got the little soldier thing from sixth grade Sunday school going on right there in the handout. But notice what's really happening here. Paul is urging, he is admonishing, he's encouraging, he's pushing, he's like the football coach. He's saying in the huddle, he said, be strong in the Lord. Why would he have to tell us that? Well, he has to tell us that because if we're not attending to spiritual warfare, we can become weak. And that's what Shella was saying, is human nature, there's a weakness there. So we have to be prodded along. We have to be encouraged to be strong. It's not going to happen automatically. We have to turn to the Lord and ask for the wisdom and ask for the strength and draw from his word and prepare to move forward. So be strong is a command. It's a command because it needs to be there. And in his mighty power, put on the full armor. So these are commands. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. And that verse 12 is our focus verse for today. And it's going to be our focus verse many times throughout this series. But right now, notice that it's about struggle. It's about standing. It's about putting on. It's about being strong. To be against the powers of this dark world and against the forces of evil. So we're not called in the battle. We're already in the battle. We're called to be strong in the battle. That's the difference. Okay. So, and if you haven't done a study of Ephesians 6, 8 to 10, where you look at the full armor of God, the whole armor of God, one of the things that becomes obvious as you look at this, and I won't dwell on it, but everything here is defensive except the sword of the Spirit. And what is that saying? That is saying, just like Paul is saying, stand strong. It's saying we don't have to create the battle. The battle is already there. We just need to step up to the battle, stand strong, be prepared to use the sword of the Spirit as called upon, which is using the Word of God. Prepare to use the sword of the Spirit, but we don't have to overreach. We just need to stand strong in the battle as the battle presents itself to us in our lives wherever we are, because the battle is presenting itself to us, and we're not called to, as was already said, to win the battle. The battle's already won, but we're called to stand strong. Okay, now there's, yes, Dan.
Okay, one thing is that the maturity, a mature Christian is going to know the Word of God, going to rightly divide the Word of God, and discernment comes from knowledge of the Word of God.
Right.
So you have individuals that I know because I was involved in the Assembly of God for 20 years. I was a deacon in that fellowship. And what has happened in that, everything is demon of alcoholism, demon of divorce, demon of sexual limitation. No, it's the flesh. Mm-hmm. And you have to submit your flesh to the will of God. Mm-hmm. And Satan is getting far too much credit for the things of the flesh. Mm-hmm. I've seen people that... demon of bad breath. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, Tony gave us demon of dandruff last week.
I had somebody that was being prayed over, and they say, and this is supposedly a Christian that was being prayed over, I can feel the roots of this demon deep inside you. If you're a child of God,
right,
darkness does not dwell in the same place. You're not going to have the Spirit of Christ inside of you and Satan inside. That's an impossibility.
Okay, Drina and Gabe moved us to the end of this lesson. You just moved us to the end of the whole series, so thanks a lot. All right, here's an interesting little short phrase in 2 Timothy where Paul says, share in suffering as a good soldier. What is he reminding us of? We have the whole armor of God, but that doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. So, but we suffer what? As a soldier, not as a me, poor me. No, we're a soldier, and we suffer as a soldier. We suck it up, as the drill sergeant would say, and we suffer as a soldier. Okay. All right. Now, that's exactly what Dan was saying. We can get so obsessed, and remember, the series is spiritual warfare, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And one of the things that Dan is reminding us, and some of others have too, is it's all of the above. But we want to be especially alert to our focus verse today, that we're wrestling against spiritual forces. We want to be alert to that. Okay. So, who is warring with whom? That's kind of what we're talking about. So, this is the focus verse, not flesh and blood. But we are wrestling against flesh and blood. That's why we're going to have the series, The World, the Flesh, and the Devil. So we are, but what he's saying, in comparison, flesh we get. We understand about self-control. We understand about impulses. We understand some of the weaknesses of human nature. But the real battle, the heavy battle, the kinetic battle, if you will, is against rulers. We'll talk about that when we get to the devil. We'll talk about authorities. And we'll talk about cosmic powers. We kind of sometimes just kind of, you know, sort of slide past those. We're not going to slide past those in this series. We're going to go right into, what do we mean rulers? What do we mean authorities? What do we mean cosmic powers over this present darkness? And then the last one we do get, the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We kind of like, oh, phew, I'm not sure about the rulers. I'm not sure about the authorities. I'm not sure about the cosmic powers. But I can get spiritual forces of evil. That I'm good with. It's there, but we're gonna unpack the rest of that verse as we go along. And last week we talked about the fact that we don't want to be too dismissive of spiritual warfare and the devil and all of that. We also don't want to become too obsessed with it. Oh, yeah, go back to this verse, sorry. We want to resist. And that's what we said. We talked about James last week, this week, Hebrews 12:4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet, there it is again, resisted. That's again, that maps right to that armor of God. The armor of God is resistance. It's defensive until the right opportunity comes to bring the sword of the Spirit forward. But we're prepared to take on all of the missiles, if you will, and be protected from those. But then when it's appropriate, the sword of the Spirit comes out. So resistance, you know, we see that in politics sometimes. It's a big, you know, a big sign, resist. Well, that's what we're called to do, to resist. Okay. All right. Now, we talked about what causes sin. That was an earlier discussion. And a lot of this is included. I just wanted to kind of map to a couple of things in particular to highlight. First of all, yielding to temptation. We had that. That was one of ours. And we've seen that. And we're going to see that as we talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Just to kind of put this in context. So the world presents itself to us. And when it presents itself to us, it offers a lot of shiny baubles. And so we want to resist the temptations that the world presents to us. The flesh is, as Jesus said, out of the heart. The flesh is our body. It's our residual sinful nature, which we're going to talk about today before we're done here, which is different than saying we're overpowered by the devil. We're not overpowered by the devil if we're a follower in Christ. But there is a residual need to resist. So resisting versus yielding to temptation. And we saw that in the Garden of Eden. The woman saw the tree was good for food. It was delight to the eyes, and it was to be desired. That's how the world presents itself to us. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So it's that's that flesh coming through. So we're going to see that. Then what else causes sin? Sinful nature, which is already on the board. So Psalm 51:5, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. Matthew 15, Jesus said, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Pretty thorough list right there from our Lord. And then in Romans, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out, for I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. So there's this struggle. And we sometimes have a little difficulty sorting that out. That's why we're doing this. Lack of knowledge was mentioned, Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what's the first step in dealing with spiritual warfare? Well, it's learning about spiritual warfare. As Hosea said, you know, ignorance is the problem. And then pride. Somebody already mentioned that as well. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So we have this, all of this tension that comes from our sinful nature, that there seems to be a residual part of our sinful nature, and we hate it. Paul hated it. We hate it. And it reminds us that we were conceived in sin, that sin was originally a part of who we are from the very beginning. But we also know that if we're a follower of Christ, a believer in Christ, we confess Christ, we acknowledge Christ as our King and our Lord and our Savior, we know that, then we know there's victory. So how do we sort this out? This has been a challenge to our faith from even the time of Paul and his writings. So we ask the question, and this is another soldier trying to be on the sidelines who is pensively thinking about what's going on. And does the Bible teach me that I am my own worst enemy? And I think Gabe has cut a short circuit of this by saying, no, the enemy is our enemy. We do have issues with our flesh. I do the very thing I hate. We do have that. We do have the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh for those who are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So when we ask the question, am I my own worst enemy? Who is the real enemy? And I just think this passage that Jesus, when Jesus talks about the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And when we read that, we're not saying that the enemy is going to steal our faith, because the enemy cannot steal our faith. But the enemy can steal things like peace of mind and purpose, and even a sense, there is a sense of confidence. And in Mark, we say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We sometimes have to pray that more fervently because unbelief wants to creep in. So it's not stealing our salvation, but it can be stealing our peace and our contentment. And so we turn to Jesus. And then the next one is destroys. What does the enemy destroy? Well, relationships, our witness, and even hope, to destroy hope, to destroy even nations. And so there is a destruction that the enemy wants to bring. And the enemy uses, what does the enemy use? We've covered some of this, lies and deception to achieve its goals. So what's, yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
You know, the Lord's Prayer, when he taught us how to pray, you know, I pray that my, you know, trials lead not to temptation. You're going to have trials. Lead to temptation and then sin. So once again, it has to do with our prayer life. It has to do with our obedience to the Word of God. It has to do with our repentant heart. Because if not, you're going to open up a doorway of struggling, lack of joy. When you have all these things like you're talking about, you're a witness to other people. And that's all Satan cares about.
Amen.
He's not. He can't take us. He can't, remove us from, like you said, from our salvation. But he can destroy our witness and our effectiveness on this.
That's right. All right. That's right.
That's what he's going to try to do.
That's what he's going to try to do. Yes. Was there another hand over here? Okay. Let me keep moving along then. All right. So if we're going to say the world, the flesh, and the devil, which one is the greatest enemy? Certainly the world invites us to sin, and we're going to talk about that. And the flesh, it's from the flesh that we have so many of these desires and challenges to self-control and purity and all of those things. But the real enemy, my real enemy, as already has been said here, is God's real enemy. It's Christ's real enemy. That's my biggest enemy. And I got to remember that because if I don't remember that, then I start sitting on the sideline and I start pouting. And I start saying, man, I'm just such a sinner and I got nothing. And look at all these other people. They're witnessing and they're living a pure life and they're, you know, reflecting Christ. And I'm just boo-hoo. And how is that soldier-like? We're called into battle. So we got to remember the biggest enemy, and Gabe said this to us, the biggest enemy is God's enemy, is Christ's enemy. And we have some confidence that is left with us. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. So stand up, be a soldier, get in the war, get in the battle. You're in it anyway, so act like it. I know I sound like a drill sergeant. Paul sounds like a drill sergeant right here. So now it is longer I who did it, but sin that dwells within me. What Paul is talking about there is he's really saying, who am I? He's asking us to ask, who are you? And what is your identity? And if our identity is in Christ, then that's what I need to bring to bear. And so, yes, there are two natures at work. That doesn't mean that we're owned by the devil. It doesn't mean we're possessed by the devil. It doesn't mean that we have no hope, because there is no temptation that the Lord will not help us with. But there is a residual. And so Paul challenges us. We saw this in Galatians. I say, again, it's a command. It's not going to happen automatically. It's intentional. Walk by the Spirit intentionally, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So that's part of the battle. There is this unrenewed aspect of our heart. It's called flesh in English. It's called sarx in Greek. And we sometimes find ourselves kind of trying, almost debating this. Because, as Dan said, we can't be double-minded. We have to either be a follower of Christ or not. But at the same time, we do what Paul does. We fight even temptation. We fight our flesh. So how do we do this? Well, again, it's a command. Paul says in Ephesians, put off your old self. Now do something about it. Get engaged. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner and is corrupt through its deceitful desires, and be renewed by the Spirit of your minds and put on the new self. In other words, it's like, okay, it's almost like you left some of your armor on the ground there, buddy. Pick it up. Put on the new self. You've had it on before. Put it back on and get back in the battle. Okay, so, you know, some people have a high view of Sarks, and it's kind of like, unintentionally, but it's kind of like the sense of the spirit and the Sarks are kind of like almost equal. They have a higher view. Some have a very small view. They see Sarks, they see the flesh as just a little tiny residual. And many people somewhere in between. It doesn't really matter. The point is that the power of the Spirit, we can access the power of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, put on the new self, and engage in the battle. And so it's a locker room talk. It's a halftime speech. You know, much of what Paul does in Ephesians and Galatians is he hits us with a halftime speech. Yes, go ahead, Dallas.
Could you tell us a little bit more about Lord, I believe, help my unbelief?
Okay. Yeah, so Jesus certainly responded to that. He said, you know, this is a greater faith than I'm seeing elsewhere around me. I think it's this. I think it's, Lord, I believe, but when I look at the way I sometimes respond to the world and even to my own flesh and to the devil, when I look at sometimes my responses, I'm not happy because you're not happy because you're not seeing me victorious like I ought to be and I can be. And so help my unbelief is what, to me, is a way of saying help reduce my sarks. The old man is crucified, but he's still squirming on the cross. And so help me reduce the presence, the influence of sarks in my life. We'll talk more about this when we get into the flesh, but that's at least the way that I see it. Yes, Nick?
As I'm listening to everybody and everything they're saying, you know, am I my own worst enemy? I think one of the things that's important to realize is that regardless of how big the sarks is,
yeah,
whether it's a lot or it's a little, it's still a regenerated heart.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
That is still, the battle's been won for that particular person.
Yep.
That is, I mean, if indeed the Spirit is within you, you're
right,
still sealed. Right?
That's exactly right.
Jesus has already won the battle,
right,
for this person. And there's it's healthy to do inward looking. But if we're inward looking all the time, then we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus. And, you know, being a part of the battle, sometimes when we look too much at ourselves, we're not battling for ourselves. That battle's been won.
Thank you.
Our battling is for our brothers and sisters.
Exactly right.
So all we're going to do is decide whether or not we're effective or ineffective,
right,
for families, our congregation, and the global church.
Thank you. When people look at us, it's like an icon on your desktop of your computer. When they click on us, they find Christ. And that's what we want. Robert and then Gabriel.
You cannot be a vacuum. A vacuum doesn't exist. Something is going into that space, and you get to pick whether you choose Christ and righteousness and truth and His knowledge and His goodness, or evil spirits will just fill in because it's not going to be empty. You put what you need in you every day.
There it goes. There it is. Okay. Let me just scoot just a little bit. Here's what Paul is saying when he says, you know, I do what I don't want to do. He's really talking about, who am I here? And we need to do the same thing. When we find ourselves bludgeoned by temptation, by circumstances, by doubts sometimes that creep in, we just need to go back and remind ourselves who we are. We're made in God's image. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ, we're adopted into God's family, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we're loved. And I'm actually going to not go through all of those. Oh, I can't. I got to go. We'll be 2 minutes late. That's all right. I got to do this. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who will deliver me. We want to keep that in mind. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can stand strong in the battle because we have, that's who we are. That's who we are. Okay. All right. So let's wrap up. And I encourage you, that last stretch of, you know, my identity is worth taking a look at those verses. Okay. Spiritual warfare is throughout the Bible. Every believer is on active duty. You can sit on the sidelines for 5 minutes, but it's not going to take more than 4 minutes for the battle to arrive where you're sitting. And the bullets are going to fly, and the bullets are flying, as Edwin Lutzer told us. Each person is tempted. I am in enmity with my deceitful desires, but I am not my own worst enemy. The enemy of Christ is my worst enemy. And I need to remind that. If I want to pout around thinking I'm my own worst enemy, I am denying who I am in Christ. My identity. So I'm not my own worst enemy. My identity is in Christ, and my greatest enemy is his enemy, that is Satan. So those verses that were made in God's image, redeemed by the blood, adopted into the family, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love. If you're having doubts, if you're feeling put upon, if you're feeling that you're not as victorious as you want to be, just go back and read those verses and remind yourself who you are. And that's my encouragement for today. Any questions, comments, anything we've covered? Yes.
What kind of one would be the reason for sin? It'd actually be just to fully cover it with these spells and curses.
Spells, curses, witchcraft, paganism, neo-paganism. Oh, we're going there. We're going there. Father God in heaven, through your Holy Spirit, through the work of Christ, we know that we are redeemed, that we are loved, that we are yours, that we are saved. And we just are so grateful for that. We also know that we're called into battle, that this is not a sideline opportunity. We're in the battle, and we're called into battle. So, Father God in heaven, through your Holy Spirit, give us a sense of our identity in Christ, a greater sense of our identity in Christ, so that we can be full participants in the waging of spiritual warfare as you would call us to do. Not overreaching, not ignoring, but as you would call us to do in our own lives and our own circumstances. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.